Our Pacific on ABC Radio Australia.
Bula! Welcome to our very first episode of Can You Be More Pacific? We are also celebrating Fiji's 50th Independence Day. We are your hosts.
I'm Rock.
And I'm Cav, and together we are
Rock and Cav, talking all things sport across the Pacific. Coming up in the next hour, plays of the week, interview with Fiji Australian weightlifter Aileen Vikamatana.
And you don't want to miss out our top five, and reporting from the Solomon Islands, Miss Elizabeth Osefelo. A lot to get through. Last go.
Woo!
Can you be more Pacific on ABC Radio Australia and ABC Sport Digital Radio?
All right, guys, being as it is our first show, we want you to get to know us. Cav, what's your fondest childhood memory?
In Fiji.
In Fiji.
Oh, man, where do I begin? Well, I was born in Fiji.
Yep.
In the province of Tailebu.
Woo!
So our village was about a 5-minute drive away from Nosori. And I guess one of the memories that I grew up with was during the tsunami, I guess. The village would get flooded, but then when the waters receded, all the little kids would just meet up in the field in the village, and we'd just play touch footy or tackle footy until, you know, we'd get yelled at by our parents to come in and have a bath and that. So that was one of the fondest memories I had as a kid growing up in the village. How about you, Rock?
Me, obviously, for myself as well, I was born in Fiji. I went to school for a bit there. Actually went to a...
You went to school?
Yes, I went to school. I went to a little Hindu school. Yes, we prayed in Hindi, as they say. I remember I used to walk, I think, maybe 2.5, 2.3 kilometers.
Exactly?
Yes, I would say around about that, to our school, barefoot, right?
Mm.
And
humble.
My bag was a plastic bag with obviously my lunch and school books. And I used to remember this one lady, my good friend at the time. Every time we walk home, hot day. It would be hot every day back in the days. She would come out and be like, "Hey, boys, would you like a drink of water?" And, you know, we can't go to people's house just like that. But she always offered us water, and then we'll be on our way back home.
Geez.
So, I know, I think, you know, thank you to that lady who always offered us water. Very kind of you.
Yes, lady, that, wherever you are.
Yeah, that was my fondest memory in Fiji, growing up in Fiji.
Wow, water must have been that good.
It was, you know why? Because it was refrigerated.
Rockin' Cavs, plays of the week.
All right, guys, it's time for our plays of the week, where we look at the best and the worst of the weekend. Rock, what is your low light
Cav,
of the week?
Cav.
Talk to me.
I got one word for you.
One word. What is it?
Sonny Bill Williams.
There it is.
No Sonny Bill Williams this week.
No Sonny Bill, no win.
Sonny Bill, what are you doing to me, mate? Oh, gosh.
And they lost by 1 point.
Yes, they did.
One player not playing made them lose by 1 point.
That's a whole other segment right there, Cav.
That's crazy.
Mate,
that's crazy.
It's a whole other segment.
Sonny Bill, if you're listening, get it together. Come on.
Love you, Sonny Bill.
Now, just in, Nikore from the Parramatta Eels found guilty.
Done.
Out of the semifinals. Another one, Kikau.
Done as well.
Guilty.
Wow.
Out of the finals. That's it. That's crazy, man. That's a big loss for Penrith.
That's going to be a tough one for both teams.
I know.
Because I don't know if Parramatta's going to make it all the way.
I told you Parramatta's not going to make it all the way.
Yeah, I stand
corrected.
They're done. I stand corrected.
They're done. But anyway, Kikau, who's been outstanding this year, missing out on the semis. Here's what Penrith coach Ivan Cleary had to say.
I thought he kind of did enough to get him out of that dangerous position. So, yeah, I mean, problem with kicks is he's just so big and it's almost he gets discriminated against because he's so big. So everything he does looks worse.
Yes, he is right.
You know what I mean?
Cleary is right. Everything Kikau does looks worse just because he's of his size, his frame. What do you reckon?
But you know what the funny thing is?
What?
That all the players that he supposedly was rough on, they're not injured or nothing serious came about after those incidents of him tackling them.
I think it's discrimination.
Of his size.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Fijian tacklers matter.
Because if Nathan did that, everyone would be like, oh, you know, little man on big guy.
Yeah. Classic textbook tackle.
Classic textbook tackle. That's it, yeah. So, you know, you got to weigh it up.
Yeah. Anyway, it is what it is.
Yeah.
The news for Fijians keep getting worse. Our brother, Johnny Volau, unfortunately, he lost by points to Stephen Ward of Ireland.
Yes.
The Brown Bomber. It was Stephen Ward's first fight up to cruiserweight. The Brown Bomber exploded.
The Brown Bomber exploded in a bad way.
In a bad way. It backfired. No.
It didn't go boom, it went boom.
He went kaboom.
Oh, that's unfortunate to him.
You but, live you know, to fight another day, as they say. Day.
Exactly.
And hopefully we'll see him fighting again soon and piling up those W's, those dubs.
Yeah, that's it. All right, on to AFL news. The mighty West Coast Eagles defeated by the Collingwood Magpies.
Big low light.
Oh, no.
Massive low light.
Oh, me cousin.
No more Nick Natanui.
Me cousin Nick Natanui. I thought I taught you everything, but then obviously didn't apply it on the field. But anyways, you played a great game, cuz.
Great game, great year, great effort.
Great effort, cuz.
All right, the highlights. I know you got one.
Yeah.
Tell me.
South's ultimate block play.
Ooh.
Reynolds and Cody Walker.
Wow, what a combination.
What a combination. I reckon they're probably the second best duo in the league right now.
Yeah, that's a big call, but yeah, all right. All
right. Only because, like, they just got it down packed.
Yeah.
And only because of the other players that's running the lines for them.
Oh, man.
I think it's an amazing block play that they do every time. And he scores every time.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, he scores every time.
There's a few block plays that they played on the number 3 for the Knights.
Oh.
And, man.
Mad Monday.
Oh, bro. He was already thinking about Mad Monday up there in Newcastle. But, jeez,
very
Louise,
unfortunate
what
for
was
the
going
Knights.
On?
Very unfortunate for the Knights.
The Knights came back from the changing room second half. Not the same team.
Not the same team. They were defeated.
They looked terrible.
From the start, actually.
Oh, wow.
That's a low light. But anyways, we're in highlights now.
Yes. The NRLW started on the weekend.
Amazing.
Two of the Sevens girls had their debut. One for the Roosters and one for the Warriors. Charlotte Kaslik's first game and Aaliyah Green. Aaliyah scoring a try. Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Tasman Gray plays the ball. Now after the tap and it comes right to left. Smith away to Dib. They've got the numbers. Away to Aaliyah Green. She's going to score on debut. The Sevens rugby star. Aaliyah Green dives over in the southeast corner. And what a moment for her. Hair flying and what a smile on her face.
Wow, try it on debut.
Try on debut.
Hey, and how about the calling from Andrew Moore?
The Andrew Moore.
Best in the business.
Best in the
Big
business.
Big Maury.
Yeah. Gotta love it.
Tell him, Maury. But yeah, how good was the NRLW?
She looks like a natural.
And also, our PNG sister, Elsie Albert. Wow.
Yes, Miss Albert.
They call her the female jukebox.
Why is that?
Because she just keeps delivering the hits.
Oh, my God.
Ah, you like that?
That was like a dad joke.
I'm not a dad yet, but you know how it is.
Woo.
Elsie Albert, I want to see more hits.
Discussions around the Carver Bowl with Rockin' Cav on ABC Radio Australia.
All right, guys, it's time for Around the Carver Bowl, where we sit around the Carver Bowl and have a little chat to past, present, and future players and influencers.
Ducky.
Our special guest today, none other than the weightlifting prodigy, Miss Aileen Vikamatana. Gold medalist in the 2018 Commonwealth Games, won 3 gold medals at the Roma 2020 Weightlifting World Cup and number 1 in junior weightlifting in her categories, which is 50 kgs. Welcome, Miss Aileen.
Bulavanaka.
Firstly, Aileen, I think our listeners would just love to get to know who you are.
Hello, I am Aileen Floana Maria Vikamatana. I'm originally from Tavi Village, Lebo Kovana. I recently just got my citizenship in Australia, so can call myself an Australian now. I'm a full-time athlete weightlifter. Started representing Australia last year in November. And I compete in the 87kg category in the women's division.
Wow.
Wow. First and foremost, congratulations on your citizenship.
Thank you.
How does that feel?
It feels overwhelming. I'm really happy and I feel like I'm on top of the world because it's a rare opportunity to get citizenship from another country. And especially it's Australia, and seeing it by so far, I can tell that I've got great opportunity for my future here in this country.
Yeah, exactly. I can really hear the Aussie accent coming out now.
Because I've been here since 2018. So.
Oh, yeah. See what I mean?
Aileen, how old were you when you first started weightlifting?
I started when I was 14 years old. Apparently, my school teacher in the primary school when I was in class A, he was my class teacher twice. So he asked me when I was in class 7, but my parents disagreed. And then they asked me again when I went into class 8. He was the same teacher, Joe's younger brother. His name is Penny.
Okay.
He asked me again in class 8, which is 2013. My parents finally agreed because I think it was safer because I was going into high school not long after that. I didn't train that much, but I went and tried out, and I loved it. And then mom was wanting to send me to a boarding school, but she asked me if I couldn't go and ask my teaching coach, Joe Gretti, if he wanted me to continue training weightlifting. If not, I could, like, attend this boarding school that mom wanted to send me in. And then Joe said that he wanted me to continue training because there was a competition in May, and that's how it all started. He took me in, and the whole time I stayed with them and did full-time training in 2014. That's when I got into weightlifting.
Wow. Now, was this in the Lebuka weightlifting club?
Yes, this was the Lebuka ex-jungle gym in Bamba.
Wow, very nice.
Was there any girls around the same age as you that picked up weightlifting at the same time as you?
Well, there was a younger one, Joe's niece, and there was a couple of other girls from Bamba Settlement, but they were a bit older than me. They started earlier because they were, like, closer to the gym, and they were, like, in the settlement where all weightlifters came from.
Aileen, so, you know, you said before how your parents said no to weightlifting. How did that make you feel, and did that give you more of a drive to pursue it even more now?
Well, when they said no, I didn't feel anything because at that time I was more into athletics because I used to do short distance running. And then when I tried out weightlifting in 2013, I actually fell in love with the training and how challenging it was. And then when she said that she was going to send me for a boarding school, I was like, are you sure do you want to send me to a boarding school? Because
yeah.
I didn't want to go to boarding school. Because I really wanted to, like, continue training. And then when I went and asked my coach, I was hoping he would say yes. He wanted me to continue training. So as soon as he said that, after New Year's, I went in and stayed with them. I took up my suitcase and I was there full time and just go home for weekends and all those stuff.
Oh, nice. Do you have any, like, pre-lift rituals? Like, do you like to listen to music or stuff like that?
Well, for me, I do love listening to music, but whatever music is there on the YouTube. So whatever music appears, I just play and then get along with it. I'm not that kind of person that listens to certain music. Mm. So I'm used to any kind of music as long as it's music and it relaxes the mind.
Oh, nice. Is there a reason why you scream before you lift? I've seen a few of your videos. You have a little...
Yeah. Well,
sorry about that, Aileen. Obviously, Tui doesn't lift like us. because I know what you're doing, that's to really psych yourself up and really be in the zone.
For us non-athletes.
Well, I do screaming and whistles before every lift because I feel there's a slight relief in the body. I'm not that really tense before going to do a lift. Whereas they've got their own ways of lifting. For me, I'm more used to whistling and screaming because I have there's a release in the tension of my body. It's not tense before to do a lift. You get what I mean?
Yeah, I do that as well, Aileen, with my
before he gets on the radio, he does a little whistle and a scream.
Yes, my PBs.
And he does push-ups and sit-ups.
Yeah. I do 10 push-ups in under 10 seconds.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's an athlete, yeah? Aileen, what is your personal best lift?
Oh, my personal best is a 120 snatch and 155 clean and jerk.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I did 120 snatch on my birthday 2 weeks ago, and that was my PB. Oh, wow. I attempted it multiple times before, but never get the chance to get overhead and get up with it. So on my birthday, I actually got it on top of my head and then got up with it in the straight leg.
Nice. So,
and that's crazy.
Very nice. So, Aileen, powerlifting movements, so all the powerlifting movements that you do, it plays a big role in rugby league and rugby union, right?
Yeah.
Like with our tackling techniques and our running. If you were to be chosen to be an S&C coach, so a strength and conditioning coach, for any team around the world, also either rugby league or rugby union, what team would it be?
Rugby league and rugby union. That's a good question because I haven't even been in a team.
Yeah, so if obviously you're an Australian citizen, one of the rules is you have to go for a certain team. So because you're in the Sydney district, St. George is the nearest team for you. So you obviously have to go for St. George from now on.
So I have to go for St. George right from now on.
You have to, from now on, support St. George. Because that's part of your Australian citizenship format. So...
I don't even follow rugby league or rugby. I'll try and.
You know what? You just ruined my question, Aileen. Thank you very much.
Aileen, what were your main challenges when you moved here to Australia?
Well, my main challenges was leaving my family behind, as I was a Fijian citizen originally. But here's what it is: I've made a decision for my future as well and for my career in sports. So I didn't want to just throw away my dream that I had since I started weightlifting.
Did you miss the food from home, or did you find tavioca and dalo around Canberra and Sydney?
Hardly. All I eat is pasta and rice.
Wow. The culture change.
Are you used to eating Aussie food now, or do you still... Trying to walk around Canberra looking for cassava.
Well, I had a couple of dalo and some home Fijian food from one of my Fijian cousins here. And it's been 2 years. It's been a long time, and that made me crave for mom's palusami and home food that they used to prepare when I used to come home.
Stop it.
Well, let me know, because Kev can do a really good crab curry dish.
Crab curry
dish is really good.
Suruwa, as we call it. What's the fish that we eat in Lebuka again, in Tavia? What's the fish? For breakfast.
Oh, you mean the sara?
Yeah.
That big, big fish.
Yeah.
Man.
I think it's the kangaroo fish.
Far from it.
Aileen, are you looking forward to representing Australia in the Olympics?
I'm not sure what my chances are right now.
Yeah.
And plus it's COVID-19, because when I started, I missed out the qualifying periods. But whatever it is, if I get to represent Australia in the Olympics, yes, it has a big yes for me, looking forward to represent Australia. And that Olympic with the 5 rings hanging up.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Well, Aileen, we thank you and appreciate your time dropping in and talking with us today. We obviously hope for the best for you, and we can't wait to watch you lift and break more world records. And hopefully we can have you again in the near future.
Sure thing. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate you guys asking me questions, and thank you for taking our time to interview me.
Thank you, Aileen. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
See ya. That was Aileen Vikamatana, gold medalist at the 2018 Commonwealth Games and number one junior weightlifter in her category.
Rocking Cavs Top 5.
Now it's time for our Top 5.
Ooh, my favourite part of the show.
Where we talk about our Top 5 of the week.
Yes.
And since it's Fiji Independence Day this weekend, it's only right we should talk about our Top 5 Fijian athletes.
Yes.
Yes. So, Cav.
Let's go, Fiji.
We'll start off with you. Who is your Top 5 athlete?
All right. Number 5 for me. Number 5 is Jarryd Hayne.
Oh, my God.
Number... it's Jarryd Hayne. All right. He has played in the NRL.
Yes.
Okay. He's played City Country. He has played State of Origin. Has played for the Kangaroos. Fiji Butty. Has played in the NFL. And he's played for Fiji Sevens. How many more players do you know that has done what he has done?
I think it's a bit disrespectful to put him at number 5. But anyways. Hey,
that's 5 for me.
Yeah, exactly.
He's number 5. He's up there.
He's up there. Amazing athlete.
Yep.
All right, for me, my top 5 athlete.
What's your 5? Let me hear it.
The bodyguard himself, Vijay Singh.
Oh.
Go on now. You got to put it up there, Vijay Singh.
Okay.
Yeah?
All right. 5? All right, 5. It's not bad at 5.
Of course it's not bad. He's up there. He's world class.
I thought it a bit. Yeah, okay.
He was world class. Who's your number 4?
My number 4 is also the woman we just interviewed.
No way.
Aileen Vikamatana.
No way. That's my number 4 too.
That's number 4. Woo! Yes. Commonwealth Games gold medalist. 3 gold in Roma Games. And she's number 1 in weightlifting in her category. And I'm predicting she will win gold in the next Olympics.
She's too good. She is amazing. Any day.
Of course. 100%.
Any time of the week.
Number 3. What's your number 3, Rock?
Oh, you know what? I'm a bit baffled on this one because I got 2. Is that allowed?
If it's 2, then it's 2. Give us 2. All right.
Petro Vinavadeva.
Petro, man.
And Rupeni Vyavyao Buddha.
That's a good one.
It has to be there.
Number 3.
Yeah.
That's all right.
It's only right.
Yeah.
Legends of the game.
Yep. Number 3.
Who's your number 3, Cav?
My number 3 is the man himself, Mr. Iliesa Ndelana.
Oh, my God.
The first Fijian Paralympics gold medalist.
Unbelievable.
Huh? How did you not get that?
Oh.
Come on.
No, because I got him in.
What an inspiration.
Yes, I know.
Oh, inspirational.
I had him in my bonus round.
All right, for those of you who don't know, he has one leg and he won gold in the high jump.
In the Paralympics.
I can't even jump with 2 legs. Imagine 1. That's crazy.
I know, right?
That is crazy.
Well, that's a well-deserved top 3.
Yep. Number 2.
It's none other than Jarryd Hayne.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Jarryd Hayne would have to be the second up there for that reason of what you said.
Okay.
I mean, he's just the ultimate superstar.
Yep. That's a good one. My number 2 was your number 5.
What?
Vijay Singh.
Oh my God. How dare of me? Oh my gosh.
The first Fijian to win 64 pro golfing tours. How good is that? He was number 1 at one stage. He was above Tiger Woods.
Huh? Tiger Woods is your number 1?
No, he was above Tiger Woods.
Oh, okay. I forgot he's not Fijian. Anyways.
Nah, he thinks he's Fijian. How embarrassing.
Vijay Singh, that's perfect.
Vijay Singh's number 2 for me.
That's perfect.
I think he's probably the first Fijian athlete millionaire, would you say?
I'd say so.
Yeah, he is a...
Well deserved.
Man.
From a bodyguard in Nundi.
Yeah.
Nundi nightclubs, or was it Lotoka nightclubs?
Lotoka nightclubs. Yeah. Shout out to everyone in Lotoka.
Yeah, he got kicked out by him.
Or your dad's.
Yeah, that's
it. Got kicked out by Vijay.
The one and only.
Number 1, Dua.
Before I get to my number 1, all right, I'm going to give some special mention.
Yep.
Out there, because obviously there's too many unbelievable Fijian athletes. Iliesa Ndelana, Cavs number 3.
Disrespect.
Also got to mention Miriam Tuisorisori Chambolt.
Yes.
Who was the first Fijian woman to represent country in the 1976 Olympics in athletics.
The OG.
Man. And we can't forget the Fiji Sevens gold medalist team 2016 Road to Rio.
Yes. And also a special mention to the man himself, Lotte Tungiri, who paved the way, I reckon, for Fijians who wanted to switch codes from league to union.
Yes.
And also Aaliyah Green, who was the first female to win gold, but for the Australia Sevens team.
Yeah, that's
so she gets another special mention. And also Semi Rondrandra, I reckon, who's still playing and carving up over there in the English Premier League. I reckon he's...
Shout out to Semi.
Yeah, there can only be one Semi.
No, Parramatta misses you, mate.
Yeah, Bulldogs would really need you right now. Number one.
Moving on to our number one.
Our number one. What's your number one, Rock?
My number
Let
one.
Let the people know what your number one is.
This man needs no introduction.
Number two.
Yes. Number two for myself, Wasile Serevi.
Wow.
The man himself.
Wow. That's a good one.
And up there.
He is the GOAT of rugby.
He is the GOAT of Fijian athletes.
Yes.
Right now.
The magician.
The living legend.
Living legend. The man. GOAT.
That's for me, Cav. And I think that's a outstanding lineup for myself. And you?
My number one.
What's your number two?
My number one is the man himself.
Ooh.
We all looked up to him when we were young.
Ooh.
Noah Nandruku.
Ooh.
The man from Namatakula.
Oh,
the Namatakula flyer.
God.
Bro, when we were young and like Sevens was on, he was covering up in the Sevens with Wasile, obviously. Yeah, and they scored that try in Hong Kong with Serevi and Tomasi Dhamma.
Yo, and then,
and then he made the switch over to rugby league to Canberra Raiders, and he was part of that dominant 90s team with Bradley Clyde and
Mal Meninga,
man, Ricky Stewart, Sticky. He's number one for me because we all looked up to him. Kids that grew up in the 90s, born in the 80s, grew up in the 90s, we all looked up to him. He had, I think he was one of the first guys with his own billboard, and he had the jersey on, the Canberra jersey with the milk.
Yes.
You know, everybody wanted to be like him. Women loved him.
No, that's it.
That's number one for me. I think he's the OG of code switch for Fijians.
You know what? In saying that,
number one.
Sevens players kill it in rugby league.
Really?
Yeah.
I think for women, yeah.
No. Noah. Semi.
Yes. LA. Yes. Yes.
I think I just unlocked another code here.
Ooh, I think you have.
I think I have.
But it's all Fijians, though.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Huh? Oh, well, far out. Okay. I'm liking that.
That is our top five for this week. Happy Fiji Day to all my lovely Fijian family and friends out there.
Brothers and sisters, mums and daddies.
Top five Fijian athletes.
Can you be more Pacific? With Rock and Cav on ABC Radio Australia. Oh my God. Woo!
Can you be more Pacific with Rock and Cav? Talking all things sport across the Pacific. Still to come,
checking in with the Solomon Islands and our unique take of the week. All right, guys, we're going to change up the pace a little bit from the big city. We're crossing over to Island Life.
Island Life. This is where we'll check in with our on-the-ground reporters to find out what's happening across the Pacific.
We have our on-the-ground journalist from the Solomon Islands, the amazing Miss Elizabeth Osifello. Elizabeth, thank you for joining us.
And yes, thank you for having me as well.
Yeah, we appreciate it. Elizabeth, can you please just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, I think you've got my name, Elizabeth Osifello. I am a freelance journalist here in the Solomon Islands. I'm based in Honiara, and I see myself as an all-rounder, but I follow a lot of our sports events here in the Solomon probably for the last 2 years or so.
Hi, Elizabeth. This is Rock. Who is your favourite local soccer team in the Solomon Islands?
I actually do not have a favourite.
Oh, wow.
Come on,
I
Elizabeth.
Really do not have a favorite. I think it just depends on who's the best.
Oh, okay.
But I don't really have a favorite soccer team.
No, that's fair enough.
Sounds like our producer.
Yeah.
So just touching base on your work in the Pacific Games, and what did you take out of it?
I think the main takeaway for me, this is my first coverage of the Pacific Games. Nice. That was the one in Samoa last year. It was my very first. So it was sort of a learning experience for me. The thing that I happened to like really take away with me is trying to learn some of the rules at a very last minute. So that comes with the help of Google and just jumping in some of the games that are not familiar, also learning from the athletes themselves, and also getting to know other athletes, not only on the field or on the track, but also outside of that. So building, you know, networking with other sporting athletes and other federations in the Solomons, that was before the Pacific Games and during the Games. One of my favorite athletes also during that time, I really admire and I really have a lot of respect for our weightlifting women in the Solomons. It's mainly, I think, because of our facilities that we have here in the country, but our women in weightlifting have done exceptionally well, not only locally, but in the region and also around the world in other bigger competitions. So I have a lot of respect for our women weightlifters in the country. They've got us a lot of medals during the past year. So I'm looking forward to more of these regional events.
Wow. Amazing work. Amazing work, Elizabeth. You're doing a really great job, and we can't wait to continue to work with you in the future.
Thank you very much also for having me on the program.
Thanks, Elizabeth. And now we go to your report on competitive swimming in the Solomon Islands.
Solomon Islands first introduced swimming as a sport way back in the 1970s, and then after that it died down. But in 2005, swimming was revived and slowly has been gaining a lot of popularity over the past years, and also with many challenges that comes with. Hello, I'm Elizabeth Ossifello, and today I have one of Solomon Islands' very first swimming athletes, Stance Beulah, who is now currently the development officer and coach of the Swimming Federation in Solomon Islands. Stance, thank you very much for joining us. Now, tell us a little bit about swimming in Solomon Islands and some of the achievements so far.
We've been active some games. We go out to the South Pacific Games in Papua New Guinea our first time, 2015, and then Commonwealth Games in Gold Coast. And then we go to Oceania again in Papua New Guinea. And then we go to Darwin and to the South Pacific Samoa and also to China. Some of us, they got good times and go to the World Championship, 14 World Championship in China. And then later on, we attend another 18 World Championship in Korea. And then FINA gave us a scholarship and one of our athletes in Thailand was go for learn how to swim and preparation for the Olympic. He's at Thailand at this moment. And also, we had some challenges here. We want to set our programs to go not in Honiara, but we want to go out in the provinces. Lately, we just have our goal. We go to Western Province at Maroro. We set an association there at June, and finally we see that in the province, they got plenty of good swimmers. Because they already swim in the water, and they swim, and we just give them a technique and a method. They got it, everything, and they swim well, very well.
So, Stans, just tell me about, you know, you've mentioned a lot of things about some of the achievements and places that our Solomon Islands team has been to for various regional competitions. Tell us about your conditions in terms of training and facilities, because I'm aware that Honiara, we do not have a standard size swimming pool for like the swimming sport. There are only these hotel pools, which are not as big as the ones that are usually being trained in. So what are the conditions like?
Well, our conditions of our training here in Honiara, we're tying a rope for 50 meters, same as the pool, and we train towards that 50 meter every time according to the events. But when we go into the real pool, because it's water, salt water was too light. When you go into the water, it's heavy. So that's why some of our time, we lost it. Our time in salt water is very good times. But when we go into the water pool, no, we lost it. You see, pool, when you water and salt water is different. Salt water is light and the pool is heavy, or water is heavy. So when we come in the water, we lost some time of heaviness in the water.
Where is the usual training spot?
Yeah, we usual training in at a marine school, seafront. We got some permission from there, from the college, and they invested and they let us to train there. So we train there every Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. We tying a rope, a 50-meter rope in the ocean, and we swim according to that 50 meter.
So you know, when it comes to swimming, there are certain things that you need, like, you know, you have the swimming goggles, you have the swimming togs. I know that the goggles have its seawater, and then when you come in the pool, the goggles are sort of faded. So how do you continue to maintain your athletes, because they have specific gear that they have to wear, and then in the ocean it is not safe, there's rubbish and a lot of these sea bugs and in the water, but then you keep going.
Sometimes we have a hard time in a hotel pool in hotels, because we don't have money to pay the hotel every time we're training. So we just did it in the open water, in the salt water, and we just swim there, which is free or charge. Yeah? But every time we want to go to the hotel, it costs us $50 for upper head. If we 20 swimmers, hey, we don't have that money to meet all these athletes. So we always do our training in a marine beach in the salt water. And also, when it comes in a storm, we can't do it. And when it comes to rough seas, we just rest for fine again. We go back inside. And actually, the athletes, they a bit of fright of the salt water is open sea. We just fry the suck. So we just train only 1 hour, 2 hours. Then that's enough. We go out.
Thank you, Stans, for joining us. The Solomon Islands Swimming Federation's main priority now is to start scouting for other potential swimmers in the provinces. However, although swimming is categorized like a new sport in Solomon Islands, the Swimming Federation is hopeful that swimming has a lot of potential and now gaining a lot of interest. Now, this might make a difference if we have the right infrastructure in place, such as a standard swimming pool for our athletes. So, Rock and Cav, although Solomon Islands swim team still uses the ocean for training, we look forward to sharing more positive developments for swimming in the near future.
Wow.
That's our story from the Solomon Islands.
Wow, that's incredible.
It is incredible.
Yeah. I didn't know the difference between like salt and
chlorine.
The pool, yeah. I didn't know it was heavier to swim in the pool than it was in the ocean. I always thought it was other way around, but you know, that's crazy, man. Like, using what you've got, islands, because we don't have much of everything, you know. We don't have, like, the most high-tech equipment or, you know, what other all these other countries like Australia, England.
Or even just the
America,
standard.
America, yeah, just the standard stuff, you know, like a swimming pool. Like they
pretty basic.
Yeah, they couldn't even swim in the hotel swimming pool. It wasn't long enough, I guess. So, you know, just tying a rope 50 meters and then swimming the length of the rope, man, that just shows how dedicated they are to perfecting their craft.
The adversity they had to go through.
Oh, man.
It just goes to show, like, with the, you know, Pacific Island these days, if they had everything of how we're blessed here,
yeah,
and they can go a long way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they were given the same opportunities as
exactly
people here in Australia, America, abroad, I reckon, they would probably, you know, mix it with some of the best.
Yeah.
You know, we have so much talent out there in the islands. If we're given the proper tools, I reckon we could go a long way. Yeah, thank you for that, Elizabeth. Appreciate it. Can't wait to hear more stories out of the Solomon Islands and Pacific in general.
Can you be more Pacific with Rock and Cav on ABC Radio Australia?
All right, guys, now it's time for Unique Take of the Week, where Rock and I discuss our take of the stories of the week.
Starting off with the NRL try from Jack Whiten.
Now here's the drop ball by Mulitalo, and it comes away with Canberra. The Raiders have it, now only 18 metres out from the line. Jack Whiten came up with the ball. Penalty against Fifita. Quick tap taken by Whiten. Straight past Hamlin Ueli. Scores the try.
What a fiasco.
What a blunder.
I think that comes down to the rule changes.
Oh, duh. How confusing is it?
Man, they change it every year. I don't even know what's going on. Is it still five tackles or have they dropped it down to 4.5?
I think it's 6 tackles. Wink, wink.
But yeah, I think it comes down to the rules. I think the players are a bit confused. The refs are confused and the fans are even more confused.
Jack Whiten took advantage of it.
Sorry, Sharks. Mad Monday.
Unfortunately. So in saying that, big controversy.
Mm.
Sharks captain, Wade Graham, had something to say to the ref that day.
And then you put in the penalty. So the penalty wasn't for the ruck infringement. So I'm telling you. And then you played onto a try. I don't understand. I'll explain to you. Okay? The six again.
Yes.
It's for ruck infringement.
Yep.
And when play breaks down, we have to blow a penalty, okay? Because okay, so that's the first element.
Okay. So then I challenge.
Hang on. The second element is that he tapped the ball before any challenge was made.
No, I yelled out straight away when Fafita was on the ground, I said challenge.
There's a third element. It's ruck interference, which you can't challenge.
No, ruck interference is 6-10.
No, mate, the penalty's for ruck interference. So you can't challenge ruck interference. He tapped it before you challenge.
If I yell out challenge, you don't even respond to it.
Mate, ruck you go.
There's too many elements. All I heard was element, element, element.
Well, there's elements in this game, mate.
Oh, man.
But he has a point there.
He does have a point. Wait, the point is, what's the rule?
It's exactly what the point is.
Far out.
Why do you keep changing the rules, ref?
Yeah.
Element this, element that.
Yeah. The element of 1, 2, 3, 4, far out. Just one element. Play the ball, run, tackle, score. That's it.
Obviously, it cost him the game. Mad Monday, how you doing?
I don't know if it cost him the game. They're already... There you go. They're already out of it.
Yeah, true. They lost momentum.
Yeah.
Speaking of momentum.
Yes.
The mighty Storm.
Stormers.
Wrecked the Eels' momentum.
Wow.
How bad was that?
Smith to play it. 5 in from touch on the left. 30 metres out.
Bernavalu's down at the back. I don't know if it's a cramp
dear,
or...
Oh, dear. You wouldn't want to be a winger tonight, would
Probably
you?
Just a cramp. It's just a cramp, I think.
Sivo off with the knee. Ferguson off hurt.
Oh, and King Gutho, he is going off. He's saying to Ashley Klein, how can you pull it up for a bloke with cramp?
I agree.
Well, you can't.
I agree.
That's unbelievable. The Storm might be down a man, but that's unlucky. Parramatta, you have every right to blow up.
He's going to be fine. The Storm should be fined for that. That's what they do now these days, don't they? If a trainer or a runner says stop play for someone who's not really injured, ping him a fine. I don't think it'll... Murray too much. Anyway, yeah, it's one of those frustrating things, isn't it?
Smart tactic or evil tactics?
Smart tactics.
Wow. Eels, do you believe that Eels would have used that momentum to score a try?
I reckon they would have.
Oh,
only
man.
Because you had Fergo just killing it. Guffertson. You know, they had all
King Gutho was blowing
King
up.
King Gutho was blowing up only because they lost the momentum.
Yeah, that's true.
And Melbourne Storm knew that.
Yeah.
And used their
tactics.
They capitalized.
Wow.
The trainer was
Big
in
words.
On it.
Yeah. Ooh, the trainer was.
The trainer said to the ref,
stop the game.
The game. So now. And
it was Vunivalu anyway, so he needed to stop the game.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. One of the all-time greats.
All-time greats. He should have been in our top five, actually.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so the trainers used that tactic to obviously stop the momentum of the Parramatta Eels. And
should the Storms be fined? What are your thoughts? Should the Storms be fined?
No.
Why not?
Because if the Storm should be fined, the ref should be fined as well.
Ooh. Keep the refs
accountable.
Nice.
Just saying.
All right. Now, there is talks about the NRL expansion. Now, Brisbane will get the next team, but we believe that it should be PNG.
PNG should be up there, of course.
Yes. They should get next.
They
NRL
should.
Team.
They've got the resources.
Yep.
They've got the stadiums.
Oh, yep.
They've got the fans.
Yes.
And they've got the love of the game, which is lacking right now.
Oh, you just covered all the points just then.
That's PNG for you.
Yeah.
It's a national sport. It's a religion over there.
Yeah. That's the only country in the world that has NRL or rugby league as their national sport.
Exactly.
bro.
It should be PNG League.
PNRL.
PNRL. See?
Yeah. It has a ring to it.
Start something but beautiful here.
Yeah. That money's not a problem over there in Papua New Guinea.
Exactly.
Which is good. And yeah, I reckon it'd be good to have a Melanesian team in the league.
Christian Welsh made a good point to Matty Elliott, Andrew Moore.
And Luke Lewis.
Luke Lewis.
Mm. I've already said to our recruitment staff, like, we should be sending all our staff over there and just trying to find the next Justin Olam.
Some of the best and the hardest hitters have come from the PNG.
Exactly.
Man, the one talks.
So he's not wrong there when it comes to, you know, recruiting really talented, gifted players.
Yeah. If they had an NRL team, man.
Unstoppable.
Unstoppable, man. Just a whole team full of hitters. Jukeboxes.
Hey.
Bunch of hit makers over there.
That's it.
Talk to me.
Come on now.
Yes.
Top five in the world.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
So the NRLW, their tackling techniques.
Wow.
I think it is
on point.
Unbelievable.
Crazy. I think they put on bigger hits than the guys.
They do.
Do you think that the women, like when they train to play rugby league, because they are trained like from the basics up to, you know, the more experienced stuff, do you think that they take in better information than the guys?
Are you trying to say men don't listen?
Yeah, obviously.
Well, no, but yes, of course I think so.
Yeah. Well, you see the way they tackle, the guys are a bit more reckless. You know, there's always high tackles, guys going to judiciary like Kikau and stuff like that. Do you think the girls...
Well, there's a grey line there, Cav.
Yeah.
With the girls, they just put their body on the line. And
you're saying the guys don't?
No. Just hear me out.
All right.
They put their body on the line and they got something to prove.
Ooh.
Yeah, because they're like, we should expand this game.
Yep.
And we're doing all this and you still won't...
Oh, yes.
You know?
You got a point there.
We're putting our body on the line. We're scoring tries. We're doing everything that the men can.
Yeah.
And then there comes the NRL aspect where it's very technical.
Yeah.
So right. You obviously see
got
how, you know, everyone's in the judiciary and all that. Yep. Only because it's very technical.
Yep.
And because the women's has just started.
Yep.
I reckon it will take 2 years until they get to that technical aspect of tackling techniques.
Yeah. It would take them a few years to get...
Oh, maybe get even less. Maybe even less than that because, you know, obviously...
The game is the game growing.
The game is changing and women are catching up rapidly.
Yes, they are.
Can you be more Pacific on ABC Radio Australia?
Coming to the end of the show... Cav,
yes.
What are you looking forward to this week?
Apart from celebrating the Independence Day on the weekend,
yes,
I am looking forward to the Bristol Bears playing in the semi-finals.
Ooh.
Our Fijian brother, Semi Rondrandra, he's going to be playing. So I'm looking forward to seeing him rip up.
Very exciting news for our boy, yeah, Semi.
He's already making waves over there.
He's making waves everywhere.
Oh, man. He's like a surfer. Semi the surfer.
Should have stayed at Para.
Oh, no. You should have come to Bulldogs. Semi the black surfer.
That's it.
What are you looking forward to, Rock?
Roosters Raiders grand final rematch.
Wow.
Will the Raiders get their revenge?
Ooh, that's a big maybe.
And will, one word, Sonny Bill Williams get on the field?
I think he will. What? 20 minutes, 30 minutes, or 40 minutes.
I just hope he gets on the field. For my sake.
Yeah, I hope his stats go up as well as the team's score. But we'll see. We'll see.
NRLW round two.
Yes. I know this is early, but who do you think will take it out?
Do you really want to know?
Yes, I want to know.
Broncos.
Oh, yes.
For me, Broncos.
Broncos. They have a lot of hard hitters in their team.
Mm.
Very experienced team. They're being led by Ali Brigginshaw.
Yes.
Who they say is one of the greatest NRLW players.
She's definitely up
there. They say she's the GOAT.
She's the GOAT?
The GOAT.
Oh my gosh.
The curry GOAT. Greatest of all time, if you didn't know. But yeah, that's what Rock's looking forward to. So, oi?
It is.
And the Bledisloe Cup.
Let's go, you Wallabies.
Oh, let's go, All Blacks.
What? Come on.
Yeah.
Wallabies.
Wallabies?
Wallabies.
Nah, All Blacks, bro. As if.
All Blacks, bro. Come on. Get out of here, man.
Cheer my brother. Cheer my bro.
All Blacks, bro.
Tumeke. Oi.
The disrespect is staying right now.
Let's go.
Yuck.
Let's go.
No. You know what?
Think, I think the only competition that the All Blacks will be facing will probably be COVID-19. That's probably the biggest competition that they've faced this whole year.
You're an idiot.
Wallabies.
You're an idiot because it's true.
I know that Wallabies have like half the team are all Polynesians, so I don't know.
We shall see.
Yeah, we shall see.
That's what I'm looking forward to. All right, as we come to the end of our very first show.
Conclusion.
I want to say a big thank you, a big vinakavaka level to our executive producer, Tim Beryl, our one and only producer, Renell Moa.
The one and only.
The big boss man himself, Nick Morris. The team at Radio Australia.
Ilaria, Claire, Joe, Anthony and Rick. As well as the countless others who have helped make this show possible. And also, not forgetting the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.
Same time, same place next week. If you missed the show or you want to listen to the magic again, it'll be replayed on Radio Australia on Friday at 2 p.m. PNG time.
Or you can find us on Radio Australia website. Yunaka,
Mothe,
and goodbye.
See ya.
Can You Be More Pacific? An ABC sport production for ABC Radio Australia.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.